Wielkie schody.
Wielkie schody. The big flight of steps. Walking up Wielkie Schody. In English, the big flight of steps. On the left side down the street, we can see the most popular local fair venue. The place is steeped in tradition since in the 14th century. It was here, at the junction of the route to Hungary, the first town settlements were founded. The route leading to Hungary went through Tarnowiec, Tuchów, Ciężkowice and Grybów to Bardejów. But could Tarnów be bypassed on the way to Hungary? There were problems with this. It was forbidden to select the route freely. From the 15th century, Tarnów used the trading regulations which committed traders and travelers alike to go through Tarnów on their way to and from Hungary. The traders were obliged to stop in the city for a while and display their goods for sale. It made nearby residents come to the city to shop. The traders had to have food and accommodation, so Tarnów developed during this period. But let us return to the fur trade, where local craft products appeared. From guild documents we learn that craft in Tarnów had a local character. The local trade was in hands of families of Hungarian, German and Scottish origin. We can see that 500 years before European integration, the town had an international character, as foreigners settled here. When we come up the steps to the marketplace and then we turn around, we can see part of St. Martin's Hill. There are ruins of the castle on this hill. The hill is more easily seen from Małe Schody, the small flight of steps, which are also marked on the map. The remains of the ruins of the castle are situated 2 kilometers on the south, on the rocky height. The history of the hill is older than the history of the castle itself. The graveyard discovered during excavation suggests that there must have been a church dedicated to St. Martin, which stood there from the end of the 11th century. It was replaced by a 15th century wooden church, also dedicated to St. Martin. The castle was erected by the Castellan of Krakow, Spisemir from Melchton, in 1331. The founder of the castle was one of the most prominent figures in the country, the closest advisor of the king Władysław Łokietek and tutor of Kazimierz the Great. The castle was probably the first such large residence of a landowner in Poland. It had an area of over 2,000 square meters and had a parish chapel inside. For over 350 years, it was a residence of Tarnów owners. To the west side, there was an entrance gate. The main house had 3 rooms on each story. The house was enlarged by an annex known as a crow's feet, over the steep slope. A tall, round and detached tower gave the building a unique appearance. The tower was far from typical for a lay dignity residence. Below, there was a fortified castle which played an administrative role for economic base and lands of Tarnów. It also gives evidence of exceptional scale of building of the 14th century. The courtyard itself was 1,000 square meters. Many prominent guests must have visited the castle. It is said that King Bolesław the Brave, who was escaping the Hungary after a conflict with the bishop Stanisław Szczepanowski, found shelter here. There used to be a temporary capital of Hungary in Tarnów, when having been forced to leave his homeland, the Hungarian king Jan Zapolja settled here. An all-time local figure is also connected with the castle. Jan Hetman Tarnowski, one of the most prominent people of Polish Renaissance, spent his childhood in the castle. He was the patron of artists, he served the highest country positions, and he stayed at the royal court of three kings, Jan Olbracht, Aleksander and Zygmunt, says the historian Łukasz Winczura, the author of book about Hetman. Tarnowski made decisions on domestic and foreign affairs of the Jagiellonians. In spite of the fact that he triumphed as a commander-in-chief, he also cared of the development of science. In 1559, he issued a statute for the local school in Tarnów, which became an important link for the development of humanistic educational concept. It was he who Erasm from Rotterdam, one of the most famous European humanists, dedicated his work, books which called the language. Tarnowski brought to his castle a famous Krakow printer, Łazarz Andrysowicz. He also invited a famous Italian architect who rebuilt the town hall. The hill we have in front of us now was visited by the most prominent figures of Polish Renaissance, including the father of Polish writing, Mikołaj Rej, or poet laureate in Padua, Klemens Janicki. Jan Kochanowski, the finest poet of the time, visited the place three times. The last time he visited Tarnów was the funeral of the hetman. Andrzej Frycz-Modrzewski, the one of the most progressive political writers, found shelter from church authorities who were up to kill him. The crown had, such as King Sigmund the Old and Queen Bona, visited castle in 1537 as well. Long before the birth of Jan Tarnowski, the Gothic-style castle was built on the east and south section of the wall. After Hungarians had wreaked havoc in the town in the middle of the 15th century, the fortification of the castle was improved by the addition of two towers. The next phase of castle development was connected with Hetman and took place around 1520. The interiors were reconstructed in Renaissance style. The whole castle was surrounded by modern fortifications. Who was Tarnowski scared of? Fortifications were the answer to the threat of Ottoman invasions. The ruins of the northeast tower and a huge four-side bastia, the arsenal, are the remains of these fortifications. The walls of the arsenal are even 4 meters thick. In the corner of the arsenal, there is a flight of steps leading to a vaulted chamber, now the only fully preserved room in the castle. Let us therefore move back to the castle from the beginning of the 17th century. The gate was located in the three-story tower with the clock. Downstairs, there was a small room for a gateway guard, and over the passageway itself, the apartment of the governor. Next to the gate, there was a house of the head of the community. On the ground floor, there was the castle bath. Small outbuildings such as a larder, bakery, baker's shop, and three stables adjoined the south wall of the building. On the west side of the building, there was a two-story tower with a porch. There was a dungeon under the tower. The castle was surrounded by a deep moat. On the lower story, there were service rooms and storerooms. Above, there were a big entrance hall and two apartments superbly decorated. The biggest rooms were located in the south part of the castle. The whole castle of Tarnów counted almost 100 rooms, out of which 35 rooms were residential. On the south, there were utility rooms and paddocks for animals, to the delight of the master. Part of the gardens was set aside as the vineyard. In this part, there was also a brewery and an ice house. The end of the castle is connected with Prince Janusz Aleksander Sanguszko. It was he who in the 18th century allowed the observance to pull down the wall in order to get the material for building the new church. In the ruins in the 19th century, an unsuccessful attempt was made to build on the mound in memory of the Galician plunder, and in 1938 the priest Roman Sanguszko bequeathed the castle to town authorities in order to fund a local park. In spite of starting archaeological digs and discovering parts of ruins, the plans of developing the area was not successful. It is a pity that so little remained after the monumental residence of wealthy families. These are the only cherished by Tarnów citizens' remains. The Tarnów City Monuments Audio Guides by Radio Max Advertising Agency with cooperation of the City Council in Tarnów, co-financed by the Małopolska Voivodeship.